Good morning. My name is Dave Barnsley. I'm one of the leaders at Rugeley Community Church, and I'm sharing you this with you this morning on our virtual church talk. It's my privilege to be able to share with you on Easter Sunday. But before I start, I just want to actually just put one of those myths to rest. It's sort of slightly bizarre, isn't it, doing a video instead of being live. And you never really know when the news reporters are sitting there, whether they've ever got trousers on. Well, as Bob said right at the beginning that he wasn't doing his talk in his pyjamas, I just want to prove to you that I'm all dressed and fully ready to go. So here's the proof. Trousers on. So we're all sorted. And I just want to look forward to sharing with you this morning. Okay, we're going to be sharing for Mark following the series that we've been doing over a number of weeks. But before I do that, I just want to say Jesus has risen. Hallelujah. And I just want to say that because that's a good start for our Easter Sunday. It's a special thing to be celebrating on this Sunday morning. We've been looking at, as I say, this final passage of Mark, and Trevor shared last week about the days leading up to Jesus's crucifixion. And Bob shared on Good Friday about the crucifixion itself. And I'm looking forward to sharing Mark chapter 16 about the resurrection. This is the day we celebrate the amazing sacrifice Jesus made by allowing himself to be crucified, which cleaned the slate for everyone, everywhere, forevermore. Let me just say that again. The amazing sacrifice Jesus made by allowing himself to be crucified to clean the slate for everyone, forevermore. And that's just incredible. Thank you, God, that you allowed your son to be sacrificed in this way so that we could have a new life, new opportunities. Through Jesus's death, he paid the price for our mistakes, our selfishness, our greed, simply anything we've done that isn't good. We call that sin. Jesus paid for our wrong, our sentences, our punishment, so that we can have a relationship with Father God. As we acknowledge Jesus as Lord and the amazing price Jesus paid and put our lives and trust in him, we can experience God's grace, God's kindness, God's outstanding love, which brings us God's peace that transcends all understanding. Now that's a deal that should hit the headlines, isn't it? We get a new chance at life with an added bonus that Jesus and Holy Spirit, that's God's helper, living in us to guide us and help us. Let's look at the story. I want to set the scene. And so I'm starting with Mark chapter 15, verses 42 to 47. And this is the burial of Jesus. It was preparation day. That is the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus's body. Pilate was surprised to hear that Jesus was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph brought some linen cloth, took down the body and wrapped it in the linen, placed it in the tomb and cut it out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. There was a sense of urgency that they had to take Jesus' body down before the Sabbath came. That was the start of sunset on Friday. That's when the Sabbath starts. As they couldn't move the body on the Sabbath, as that would be classed as work. No work was allowed on the Jewish Sabbath. So Jesus's body was laid in the tomb by Joseph, who owned the tomb. In Matthew, it says that Joseph had become a disciple of Jesus. It was a very risky act of Joseph to move the body, as he was a member of the Jewish council. Joseph's whole act would go against what the Jewish council were doing. Let's look after the day after the Sabbath. This is Mark 16, verses 1 to 3. Jesus has risen. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus's body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" The devotion from these women was incredible. Remember, in the Jewish culture, as with many other cultures of the time, and some today, women were treated very poorly. The three women are Mary Magdalene, who Jesus actually drove out seven demons, Mary, the mother of the younger James and Joseph, plus Salome, who we understand was probably the wife of Zebedee and the mother of James and John. Yet these three risked all to take some spices to anoint Jesus' body. They had got up early on the first day of the week, the day after Sabbath, with heavy hearts, but with a devotion to Jesus to anoint him out of love, honour and respect. The troubling question hit them as they got close to the tomb. Who will roll away the stone? I guess in their grief and desire to anoint Jesus, they had never thought about the stone. To put it into context, the stone is a large rock which, once the tomb is in use, the stone is rolled and it drops into a groove covering the entrance. This makes it extremely difficult to roll it away from the entrance. When they arrived, the stone had already been rolled away. This would have caused them even more pain and anxiety. They would be asking, why was the tomb open? Where was Jesus's body? As they enter in, they saw the angel. "Don't be alarmed," he said. Well, okay. That sounds as if it was such a normal thing to suddenly find a youngish man dressed in white clothes that were so brilliant they were dazzling. I think I would be alarmed. "You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. See the place where he lay. Go tell his disciples and Peter. Jesus is going ahead of you into Galilee." Trembling and bewildered, the women fled, saying nothing to anyone as they were terrified. Seems like a good plan to me, running away. Anyway, the truth is the women were beginning to realise that Jesus was the risen Christ. It was beginning to dawn on them that some of the things that they'd learned were actually coming true. Are we prepared to risk stepping out for Jesus like these women? That's quite a challenge, I must admit. Mark's Gospel has a further set of verses from 9 to 20, which are acknowledged by scholars as totally different style from the rest of the Gospel. Thus, what the scholars think is that Mark meant to leave the reader hanging so as to challenge the reader. The challenge is, do you believe that this is Jesus who lived an amazing life and was God's Son? If so, how are you going to respond? Are you going to give your life to Jesus? As I said at the beginning, Jesus is the life-changing Son of God. He will change your life if you accept him and turn away from the wrongs in your life. We call that sin. In other words, we need to say sorry, repent, turn away from our bad ways. By God's love, God will forgive our wrongs, and by God's outstanding grace, as we have repented and turned to Jesus, Jesus took all the punishment for our wrongs by his death on the cross. God then allows you to walk free in peace and in love. This new life is available to anyone who recognizes Jesus as the Son of God and believes in him. If that's you, you need to pray, say sorry, and ask Jesus to come into your life. If you want to know more about Jesus, please contact us through Rugeley Community Church website or Facebook. Anyway, back to the story. Let's look at the story of Jesus appearing to the two believers walking to Emmaus. In Mark chapter 16, verse 12, it says, "Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country." In Luke, it gives a full account of this story, so I want to read that passage from Luke. Luke 24, 13 to 35, on the Emmaus, road to Emmaus. This is the whole story. "Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus. It was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were walking with each other about and talking to each other about what had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, 'What are you discussing together as you walk along?' They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days?' 'What things?' Jesus asked. 'About Jesus of Nazareth,' they replied. 'He was a prophet, powerful in word and in deed before God and all men. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we have had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is on the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but it did not see Jesus. Jesus said to them, 'How foolish you are, how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them all that was said in the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts warmed within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told them what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. It's hard to understand why the two believers didn't recognize Jesus. But we have to remember they were full of grief and they had no expectation of seeing Jesus again. The telltale signs were that they realized that their hearts were warming to the stranger Jesus. Jesus brings his presence into every situation. Like the two believers, it is down to us to recognize, to seek out what Jesus is doing in the situations we are in. It's so easy to say, what was the matter with these two believers? But we have a nasty habit of going into situations thinking we know what is happening and forgetting that Jesus lives in us and his heart's desire is to guide, encourage and help with solutions that we would have never have thought of. Over the last few weeks, there have been a number of situations I've been praying a lot about and couldn't see any solutions. But God brought about solutions that I couldn't have imagined or dreamed of. God has solutions way beyond our expectancy and expectations. One of the stories was the big decision to close the centre, as it wasn't right to keep it open in the present crisis. Obviously, the centre is still open, so Food Bank can still provide the necessary help to folk. Anyway, it was hard to see how our God gap of money was going to be sorted. The directors wondered if we argued the case with the council for Rugeley Community Church, we might be entitled to a grant from the local authority. Anyway, when Richard went into the centre, he found a letter from Cannock Council and they were stating they thought we might be eligible to a grant of £25,000. That's absolutely amazing. As you can see, this will make a huge difference to the income of the centre and actually cover some of that God gap that we have. Wow, thank you, God. That's just an amazing solution we didn't see. God has solutions that we don't expect. Are you looking out for God's solutions? I'm certainly looking out for them far more than I used to be. Let's look at this passage. This is the passage straight after the two believers came and how they met Jesus. I'm going to read from Luke 24, 36 to 45. Jesus appears to the disciples. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. Jesus said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. The disciples had heard the stories about Jesus from the ladies, then the two believers from the Emmaus Road, and still they didn't believe Jesus was alive. The teaching and preparation that Jesus had put into place, they had not registered in their minds. There was no expectation that Jesus was going to arise from the dead. So everything was lost in the disciples' eyes. They couldn't understand what was being told them. because it didn't fit the picture they had in their heads of Jesus being crucified. So when Jesus appeared to the disciples, they still struggled to understand that this really was Jesus. How could this be? Jesus had to dispel their fears and anxiety by showing his hands and his feet, then asking them for something to eat. The disciples had seen some amazing things in Jesus' ministry, but trying to understand Jesus appearing to them was right off the scale. They just couldn't get it. I guess like you, sometimes we're taken aback that things Jesus does in our lives and those in the lives around us. Jesus has broken the chains of death so we can have life, and life in all its fullness. I'm just going to finish with this passage from Matthew. It's called the Great Commission. And I believe then there's a challenge for us. Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I surely am with you always, to the very end of the age." The disciples had gathered together to meet Jesus. They worshipped Jesus as their understanding of the fullness of who Jesus is was beginning to be recognised by them. However, having said that, even there, some of the disciples were still struggling as to what all this meant. I'm sure it was dawning on them that Jesus was going to leave them. And what was that going to mean for them? What was that going to mean for this new time? I think for some there was still a lot of uncertainty. Jesus confirms to the disciples that he had all authority that's been given by God. So Jesus was giving them and us his final instructions for the future. Go and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. I remember having a vision of Jesus dying on the cross and the whole trauma to his body, all the punishment that Jesus went through. And I realised all that was for me. The thing is, Jesus went through all that pain and punishment for each of us, for everyone, because he loves us. I believe this is a time where we're all being challenged. If you have no belief, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God and that Jesus can change your life? Ask Jesus into your life. What is Jesus saying to us through this crisis? Jesus is the hope we have. Jesus is the hope we have. It's a time of prayer. Time to pray for us, for our nation, for our government. But more specifically, it's a time for folks who are searching of what the answers are at this time. Jesus, I believe, will be putting some names into your heart and into your mind. Perhaps one or two, I don't know. I want you to wait on Jesus and seek out who they are. Get the names that Jesus is putting on your heart. It might be somebody from your family. It might be a friend. It might be a neighbour. Whoever it is, write down the names that are on your heart and start to pray for them each day. I believe this is the challenge for us at this time. Then look out for the changes, God's solutions, God interventions. God loves these folks way more than we do. And God is going to bring changes into their lives and changes into their situations and changes in their heart. Work out who God is saying for you to pray for and start praying. Hi, let's pray. Father, we pray for our leaders, both locally and in government. We pray for healing on Boris Johnson and others in leadership, for wisdom and insight as they lead us through this crisis. We pray for peace and healing over our nation and for those families who've lost loved ones and those who have folk who are very poorly at this time. We pray for God's light and health and hope for all. Thank you, Jesus, for your amazing love for all people. We pray for those people you have put on our hearts at this time. Help us to lift them to you in prayer. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, God, for Easter. Jesus has risen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great Easter. Bye.